Welcome to The Peel, where we break through the surface of sustainability in Florida and get to the juicy stuff at the center of it all. I'm your host, Amber Whittle, Executive Director of South Bay Sarasota. We're a nonprofit that's increasing the resilience, affordability, and health of Florida's buildings and communities, and we're saving the planet along the way. Check out our programs and events at southface.org, Sarasota. Our guest today is Charles Wraith. He's a South Face board member and the executive director of SURF. Welcome, Charles, and thanks for joining us on The Peel.
A pleasure.
So please explain to us what SURF is and the history behind microforests.
Well, I'm happy to do that. SURF stands for Suncoast Urban Reforesters, and it's a partner of three environmental nonprofits that coordinate our efforts to deploy a very specific strategy for urban reforestation that we call microforestry. And the whole concept of a high-performance microforest is to take a small area of land that in most cases is just turf, grass, which isn't good for the environment, and transform it into a forest that grows really fast by virtue of a strategy developed by a Japanese botanist called named Akira Miyawaki. And we turn these turf lands into multi-layer forests that grow exceptionally fast. A phrase is sometimes we create a 100-year forest in just 10 years. I could describe a little bit more about the theory behind microforests. Again, I just tip my hat to this guy, Miyawaki, whom I would have loved to have met. He discovered that if you plant trees, well, actually plants of all different layers in a mature forest, if you plant them very close to each other, 3 per meter, much closer than any forester or horticulturist would endorse, that the trees get shade signals. They get morning and evening shade on their leaves, which tell them in a way they respond to with hormones, tell them grow fast or else I'll get shaded out. So this dense packing creates competition that causes trees to grow exceptionally fast. That's what Miyawaki knew. Subsequent to his discovery of that strategy for forcing rapid tree growth was what we call mother tree theory. Mother tree theory has shown that trees actually, particularly trees of many different species, cooperate in unexpected ways, actually exchanging nutrients, exchanging those hormonal signals so that the whole forest grows faster and healthier and turns into a sustainable, maintenance-free, mature forest. And I can't say enough about how much better that is for the environment than turf, which has to be mowed and watered and fertilized, has really hardly any environmental merits. And you compare that to a multi-tier forest with canopy, a sub-canopy, you're creating shade, you're cooling against the urban heat island, you're inviting wildlife, sequestering carbon, which is very important to me as a climate scientist, and above all here in Sarasota, you're catching water that would otherwise flow into the Gulf or Bay and cause red tide because it would be carrying a lot of non-point source pollution. Instead, you're transpiring it back to the atmosphere. So that's the whole concept.
That is a great concept. I know I love the that you can sequester more carbon faster. You did say something about competition, that they grow faster. The only negative I've heard about microforests is because the trees grow so quickly, sometimes they're not as healthy, you know, like the spindly trees that grow on pine plantations.
Yes.
I know it's too early for your work specifically here in Sarasota, but has that been seen other places?
That's a great question. And the truth is that microforestry is is so new. I mean, the oldest microforests are only 5 or 6 years old, that many of us who have embraced it won't necessarily be around to see the concept born out. But that doesn't mean I don't have an answer. My thought is that another part of the Miyawaki formula that I didn't emphasize is super diversity. We just planted a quarter acre microforest with 60 different species in that small an area. So our belief is that when you have this exceptional diversity, you're adding to the competition some collaboration. I often call it collaboration. You're having this collaborative exchange of nutrients and beneficial circumstances to all the participants, to where the whole forest grows faster. Now, when we go further in time, that I'll probably be around to see, or at least I might just see it starting, we'll see a transformation from this dense thicket with all these different species, ground story, mid story, and canopy, I often call sentinel trees. We'll see the canopy close to where a lot of the lower species cull, or shade cull is the term we use. They'll die out in the shade. This is not bad from a carbon perspective, because they will die, their roots and crowns will decompose into the forest floor and into the soil. So you're still getting the climate benefit, but they're kind of getting out of the way so that the sentinel trees won't be spindly, like you say, that they'll have enough room between them to be the august, powerful forces that will resist windfall. And there's one other thing I want to say, this is really important, and it goes beyond microforestry. A lot of the trees in Sarasota are very shallow rooted. They just fell over like dominoes during Ian. And that's because they were not properly managed to encourage deep rooting. We prepare a bed of soil that is supplied by lots of mulch, and we deploy a watering regimen during the startup phase. Ultimately, we turn the watering over to nature, that causes the roots to go really deep. This is a very important part of my mission. I was a professor at Tulane after Katrina, and I saw how devastating tree fall can be to neighborhoods. These trees are groomed from when they're first put in the ground to be deep rooted and wind resistant. So that's a big part of microforests, is their resilience, their contribution to a wind resistant and otherwise resilient urban landscape.
Well, it'll be exciting to see what happens over the next 30 years. And so you've done quite a few projects in our area. Would you like to tell our listeners about some of them so they know where to go to keep an eye on this theory?
Yeah, it's just a dream for me, man. We've got 7 in and 3 or 4 more that are just coming along real fast. So our first microforest was at the celery fields, and we did not have a good handle on Miyawaki and also the soil preparation strategies. So it's more of a forest park, even though you'll see a big sign that says, "Welcome to our microforest." It was a pilot, but it's a beautiful forest. And if you go to the celery fields, to the parking lot, and instead of going up the hill, you look down to your left, you'll see a little trail in between some trees that are now about 25 feet tall. So even though we didn't compress them as fast as Miyawaki would recommend, they're still growing fast and healthily. I'll jump, instead of chronological order, to what I consider the best example of a microforest right now, which went in January, and that is at Heritage Harbor. That Heritage Harbor Park is up off Route 64, kind of behind the big Costco there next to Beacon Lake. And that's a half acre, I call it the Lamborghini of our microforest, because we had a very generous host. I often tell the story. I went and I asked for $10,000 and they politely excused me to deliberate. By the time I got to the car, I got a text message saying, "Charles, you did a good job. We're giving you 20. But that 20 was contingent on a match. So I had to go out and find other money from Climate First Bank, God bless them, and Florida Veterans for Common Sense, God bless them too. So it's a half acre forest, $40,000. And because of that, we put the trees in a little bit bigger, exceptional diversity, over 70 species, and they're very close together with a lovely gravel trail. And then at least one of each species has a little sign that says what it is with the QR code that'll tell you more about it. And then our entrance sign looks like a historic marker, which really touched me that we, like you see historic markers at Appomattox Courthouse or something like that. In our case, the historic marker is the Heritage Arbor Microforest with a very brief history of it. And then again, a QR code that takes you to a short movie or a 30-minute movie about the history of the forest.
That's awesome. And I think one of your future projects I'm really excited about is doing one in a highly urbanized Justice 40 area that we have here in Sarasota.
Oh, yes. That's going to be over in Newtown at a prospective site in a neighborhood that, right now it's a vacant lot that's really not usable for anything else because it's bisected by a steep walled ditch. And we're going to put part of that's in full sun into a traditional microforest. There's some existing trees, and we've learned now that with modifications, we can put the microforest morphology underneath those trees. And then we'll turn that little kind of right now just a watery ditch into a beautiful little park setting. So that's called Urban Green Equity, bringing nature to communities that right now are pretty far separated from it. And the whole idea of having, our traditional stakeholders, which are Rotarians and veterans, come out and work shoulder to shoulder with the minority community is, wow, that's going to be a dream for me.
And so you're obviously very passionate about this, but I know you and I know you're passionate about a lot of things. So how did you decide to start doing microforest work?
Well, it just was so lucky the way it formed up. My last task before retiring was in Africa. I was the provost of a university, but I had a research lab, and our research, which really was more of a service, was teaching villages how to reforest areas in the Sahel, which is the semi-arid area between the Sahara and the Savanna. That area is really suffering desertification due to climate change. So we were teaching new methods for farming and basically teaching agroforestry and setting up demonstration agroforests. So in using many of these very same techniques, although I had not met Miyawaki or read of Miyawaki's work at the time, but I came back here, still with forestry and planting on my mind and looking for something to do. Was a little bit idle for about my first year here, just served on some boards, but didn't feel like I had something that would create purpose and passion. And then I think it was our Rotary Club said, let's do a tree planting project. And then I teamed up with the other partners, Solutions to Avoid Red Tide and the Florida Veterans for Common Sense. We started the Celery Fields Forest, and that's when this understanding about Miyawaki and the integrating some of my old background in permaculture all came together in a magic combination. So that's how it got started.
That's great. So you've talked quite a bit about all the people who are involved. This is a real community project. So if our listeners want to get involved with Microforests, either as donors or as volunteers, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, the main thing to browse on the internet, if you want to reach out to us, would be Suncoast Urban Reforesters. That term, that's pretty unique. Or Surf Sarasota, or Microforest. Boy, we've gotten great media coverage. Hopefully that will steer you to the website that I'm working on right now. I'm taking a break to do this podcast. I've been so busy planting the forest that I have not really set up a good promotional mechanism through which people can discover us. But we will go live with that website, and I think it's going to be suncoastforesters.org, but it'll surely be really browsable. And then you'll find us. And it's being done by a company called Roaring Results. It was donated, their services donated by Rotary. So I can tell you, having seen the hidden website, it's eye-popping good. It's just my job now to put in the content, but the video, the graphics are great. So that's the best way to reach out, is browse Microforest Sarasota, Suncoast Urban Reforesters. And then, and the other thing you can do is go to the Florida Veterans for Common Sense website. And on the first page, you'll see a small reference to our program. And then I'm sure there's a reach out email address there.
Well, this has been really exciting. And thank you to Charles. And thanks for listening to The Peel. To get involved with South Bay Sarasota, visit southbay.org Sarasota. Until next time, stay sunny.